I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it. Before we get going, just a quick reminder that you can support the podcast by subscribing on Anchor for either 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 per month and earn rewards like stickers, t-shirts, and personal fantasy baseball advice. You can also now search for my podcast on Apple Podcasts and click subscribe there for free to get a notification each time a new episode is released. Whether you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you're listening on, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It will help out the show a lot and be very much appreciated. Some quick player news updates. There isn't a ton of big player news up there, but there are a few things to address. Ramon Laureano is back. He should be good to go and is a good target for steals and some power as well. You probably held on to him through his 4-game suspension if you had him, but if someone let him go, definitely go and pick him up. Some of the biggest news recently is that 2 Detroit pitchers have been called up, Casey Mize and Tarik Skubal. Neither pitcher should have any workload issues with the shortened season and will probably have a long leash in the majors. Mize has excellent command with an elite walk rate in the minors and has insane stuff. Skubal has a ton of strikeouts from the minor leagues, but was hit around in his debut on Tuesday. He doesn't have the same type of stuff that Mize has, but he could be excellent in the right matchups. So I would absolutely try to snag Mize if he's still available and wait and see on Skubal. And the last thing, the MLB trade deadline is August 31st. It's still a little ways away, a couple weeks, but it's something to pay attention to. I'm going to be watching to see where players like Mike Minor, Robbie Ray, Jonathan Villar go, because it could affect their playing time. It could affect their stats, so definitely keep an eye on player movement. I'd also keep an eye on what the Red Sox choose to do with some of their impending free agents and other stars. I would encourage you to listen to my last episode where I interviewed Jen McCaffrey, a reporter for The Athletic Boston, where we discussed some of the possibilities for Boston players. But we'll address that as it comes up in the next couple of weeks. Let's get into some COVID updates.
Coronavirus!
Thanks, Cardi B. So some quick COVID updates. Nick Markakis has been placed on the injured list for potentially being exposed to the coronavirus. He apparently tested negative, but the team is being cautious. We don't know how long he'll be out, but he's got an excellent batting average, and he's been productive in the time he's seen, although he probably isn't worth rostering unless you're in a pretty deep league. If you do have him, don't feel like you have to hang on to him. There are a lot of other options out there in the outfield, some of which we'll get to in a little bit. Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac are still out after violating MLB rules about quarantining by going out after games. They're still missing time as a part of their punishment. Plesac and Clevinger aren't allowed back until August 24th, and they may be held out even longer as punishment. So keep an eye on that situation, because if they're out for an extended period of time, you might want to consider dropping them if you're limited at pitcher. Although if you're in a keeper league, Mike Clevinger could be somebody that you want to hang on to. So just kind of watch that situation, track what they're doing, and act accordingly. There are a few injury updates as well. Nate Pearson has had a rough go in his last 3 starts after a nice debut for Toronto. If you have an IL spot open, I'd place him there, but I think he's worth a drop at this point, especially since You know, the fact that he's on the IL is because of an elbow issue. That scares me a little bit. The worst case scenario is Tommy John, but the fact that it's a pitcher with an elbow issue is a little scary. So Aaron Judge should be back soon after taking batting practice on Tuesday the 18th. He had some calf issues, but those seem to be minor, and he should be back soon. Jose Quintana should be back next week. He's worth watching, but more so if you are rostering Alec Mills. And, you know, the reason is that Quintana's return to the Cubs could push Mills into a relief role, which limits his fantasy upside. So kind of keep an eye on that. Mike Moustakas from the Reds was dealing with an injured quad, but he should be back today, and he should slot into a prominent role in a productive lineup. Starlin Castro of the Nationals broke his wrist last Friday. The Nats have called up Luis Garcia, who is now the youngest player in the MLB, and he has looked really good in his first week in the majors. As Drubal Cabrera has also taken on a larger role, and it's absolutely destroying lefties. So keep an eye on Garcia and Cabrera in your leagues. They're both worth targeting if you need some productive middle infield bats. In other Nats injury news, Steven Strasburg is dealing with carpal tunnel neuritis in his throwing hand. He's experiencing numbness, and it flared up last week. The treatment is basically to take it easy and do physical therapy and see if that works. And the worst case scenario is that he would need surgery. So it's really not clear when he'll return. They're probably having him rest and doing some tests to see what's going on. But, you know, I would try to hang on to him until the team offers a more clear timetable, and hopefully we get that sooner rather than later. But if you're in a single season league or you don't have any IL spots, you might have to make a tough decision about dropping him or trying to trade him. And finally, a bunch of Marlins players are coming back from the COVID IL, but the only one who's really worth the look is catcher Jorge Alfaro. Let's talk some drop ads.
I lift things up and put them down.
Dominic Smith is the most added player in ESPN leagues, and some other batters who are being added a lot are catcher Pedro Severino, outfielders Jesse Winker, Clint Frazier, and Anthony Santander, and pitchers Framber Valdez, Dylan Cease, and Casey Mize, who we've already talked about. So Dominic Smith looks legit. The average is likely to go down slightly, maybe to 280 or so, because his BABIP is higher than usual, but the power numbers are legit. He has excellent hard contact. He's been hitting a good amount of line drives and fly balls, so you know he's going to continue to do well. Severino is also worth an add. He has the same sort of metrics going for him as Smith, so again, worth an add. The three outfielders, Winker, Frazier, and Santander. Santander is the one that I want most. He, out of all of them, is going to get the most consistent playing time, and that's what you want in fantasy baseball. I don't think the Yankees view Frazier as someone they can rely on for an extended period of time, and I think it's more likely that he's just somebody they're going to call up when they need that extra outfield bat. And with Judge coming back, it's likely Frazier is the one losing playing time. And while we're on the topic of Yankee outfielders, I would take a look at Michael Tauchman, who is pretty likely going to stay in the lineup and stay productive. I would take him over Frazier. Winker, Jesse Winker, is hot right now, but has had some trouble hitting lefties. So his playing time could be limited. Also, the Reds have a crowded outfield. So with all that being said, what is Santander doing that makes him worth rostering over those other guys? Well, his hard contact is top-notch, and his BABIP is actually lower than his career mark, meaning that he could potentially increase his batting average with some positive regression to his BABIP. He's getting consistent playing time, which is huge, and so he's been productive. And the Baltimore lineup has been sneaky productive along with him. The only thing that worries me is his home run to fly ball rate is nearly double his career number, so it's likely that the home runs end up slowing down, but everything else looks good. As far as the pitchers, as long as Framber Valdez is starting, he's definitely worth the add. I see him as a set it and forget it type of pitcher at this point. Dylan Cease, on the other hand, is matchup dependent for me. His strikeout numbers are low and his walk and home run rates are high. And his BABIP is lower than normal, which is not good for a pitcher. So all of that tells me that regression is on the way for him. Now, if it's a good matchup, take a look. But otherwise, he's somebody that I would avoid. Now, as far as some of the most dropped players on ESPN leagues are Marco Gonzalez, Kyle Freeland, Max Stassi, and Donovan Solano. My guess is that most people have been using Gonzalez and Freeland as streaming options, and so that's why they're getting dropped. Now, I don't have a problem with you dropping them because I don't think their ERAs stay under 350 for the rest of the year. Both of them have low BABIPs. Neither of them strike out very many batters, and Freeland in particular walks too many batters. And all of that suggests some regression to me. So those guys are guys that I necessarily don't think you absolutely need to drop right now. In fact, if you have them, I wouldn't drop them right away. I would hold on to them and play them when they have a good matchup and throw them on your bench when they have a bad matchup. And if you need the roster spot, don't feel like you can't drop them. You know, those guys aren't set it and forget it type of players for me, but don't drop them unless you absolutely have to. As far as the other guys on the most drop list, Max Stassi, he's a catcher. I'm not surprised to see that he's being dropped. He was a hot catcher a week or two ago, and he's cooled off since. Now, he has pretty decent contact numbers and a low BABIP, but he hits way too many ground balls to be consistently productive, and his home run to fly ball rate is unsustainable. So when he does hit fly balls, more than normal are turning into home runs, and that's going to even out as well, so that some of those home runs he has been getting are going to turn into fly balls. Solano is also getting extraordinarily lucky, and I'd actually hang on to him until he starts cooling off. Another thing you may want to consider is trading him before you start seeing the downward slope. And in fact, you know, he's already dropped his batting average in the last week. And as his BABIP normalizes a bit, you know that that's going to result in his ERA decreasing. So I would rather get off of that train before it comes off the tracks. And so I would look for a trade partner who maybe wants to buy high on Donovan Solano. Now, I'm going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back to look at some players who've been heating up this past week.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Some of the hottest players over the past week won't surprise you. Soto, Betts, Trey Turner, and a few other bats that we've talked about already are some of the hottest players this past week. So what about some of the other options out there? Are they worth adding? Are they legit? Do you add Dansby Swanson, for example? Chances are he's scooped up in your league already. I say let them have him. To me, he's not worth adding. He's not walking. He's striking out 28% of the time. His BABIP is super high. His home run to fly ball rate is higher than normal. And he's grounding out too much. He's going to be really streaky throughout the year, and I'm not willing to deal with the slumps because you don't know when they're going to end or if they're going to end. I actually already dropped him in my league because he was really hot for a week and then cooled off, and it's just not something I want to deal with. Nick Ahmed actually nearly has nearly identical metrics to Swanson. And after a hot week for him, I view him the exact same way that I view Swanson, not worth the ad. Randall Grichuk is another batter in the same sort of situation. He's had a great week, but he's so streaky, and his background metrics suggest he's due to regress. I don't trust his past week. I do think Robinson Cano is worth an ad, though. He's another player who's had a really good week. I expect his average to go down, but the metrics backing him up are pretty solid. He's got good contact numbers. He's driving the ball well. Aside from hitters, there are a few pitchers who've been doing really well recently. Zach Davies is a hot pitcher, but to me, he's not worth the ad. He doesn't have enough strikeouts. He's got a BABIP that suggests that he's been getting lucky, and he's got a lower than normal home run to fly ball rate, all of which suggest an ERA rise to me. On the other hand, I would go after Zach Eflin, Kevin Gausman, and Tony Gonsolin because their metrics suggest that they should actually be doing better than they are. And since we're on the topic of pitchers, let's talk streaming. Kenta Maeda had a really good game against Milwaukee this week. He took a no-hitter into the ninth inning. He's scheduled to face Kansas City on Sunday and is a really good streaming option for that day and could be someone that you might want to rely on going forwards. I would avoid Mike Minor's game against the Padres this week, but don't let that sour you if he doesn't do well there. That lineup is ridiculous. If he pitches on Sunday like he's scheduled to against Seattle, he's worth an ad for that matchup. You may also want to add Andrew Haney, who has a game on Thursday against the Giants. And the Rangers' Jordan Lyles faces Seattle on Saturday in a good matchup as well. Finally, let's do the reliever roundup. So the reliever roundup today is full of news here. Trevor Gott has been getting lit up lately in San Francisco, and it's time to drop him. The Giants' bullpen is not good. I don't know if there's anyone in there that's worth rostering. My guess is that the next guys up to close there are going to be Tyler Rogers or Tony Watson, but that looks like they're going to be going by committee there. Aroldis Chapman is back, so it's likely he's going to take over the Yankees' closer role, pushing Zach Britton into being the setup guy. Britton still has value in points leagues or in leagues where you have holds, though, so if that applies to you, don't drop him. Brad Hand has had some trouble lately, and James Karinchak is worth keeping an eye on. His stuff is absolutely electric, and it's likely he's the next man up in Cleveland. Jairo Diaz is the closer in Colorado, but he's been dealing with some inconsistent command lately, and he's a risk to roster. He'll get you saves, but at the expense of a few games where he's going to have a really ballooned ERA and whip. Sergio Romo has 3 saves on the season, but it looks like he's the second guy in Minnesota. And while he may continue to pick up saves here and there, they're not going to come consistently. It looks like Andrew Miller is the closer in St. Louis after they had their coronavirus hiatus, so pick him up if he's not picked up already. Trevor Rosenthal looks really good in Kansas City. And finally, Drew Pomeranz is in line to pick up saves now that Kirby Yates is on the IL. Before I wrap up, I just want to remind you to subscribe for free on whatever platform you're listening on and to give the show a 5-star rating and a nice review. And if you want, you can do a paid subscription to earn some rewards and support the podcast. I'll be back next week with some more updates on player news. In the meantime, feel free to reach out via the show's email, fastballfantasybaseball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.